Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Lord, good to be here today. Appreciate you choosing to come and worship with us today. We're going to try to, we sing the songs of Zion, we've worshiped, we've praised, and now it's time we're going to try to serve some meat. I pray that this will be a blessing to you today, as this has been on my heart for a solid week. I told Pat I was in deep water with this message right here. That's a sad place for me to be. I'm a shallow swimmer. So this is where the Lord's led me. I pray this will be a blessing to you. I'm in Proverbs chapter 15, one verse, verse number 3 today. Proverbs 15, verse number 3. It was wide open around here Wednesday night. Started in a prayer room. And look, you can't work up God. He'll work you up, but you can't work Him up. If you do, it's a thought. It won't amount to anything. There's a little different spirit in here this morning. And don't break nervous on me. Listen, we can't always be jumping the pews. I like to do that. I don't jump many pews anymore, but I used to really like it. But it's not that I don't like it. I'm just not as able. But I still like to feel the wind blow. But sometimes you've got to get down into the meat or the Word, and I think that's where we're at in this message today. This is an instructional message. It's going to chafe some people. That's about like that Sunday school lesson we had this morning. Who? That is a salty sermon. But it's where we're at. We need the Word of God. Who believes that every word of this book's true? Amen. Who believes that it applies to every one of us? Amen. Amen. Without exception. Doesn't matter where I'm living or how I'm doing, what's true is this Word. And He expects me to move to the Word. The Word's not going to move to me. That's how it is. It's good to see our snowbirds back. I'm glad they flew back north and lighted in here on us and be here for a week or two, and they'll be gone again. No, it's good to have everyone back. You found Proverbs 15 and verse number 3? Short verse. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Wow. If we could stop right there. That's deep water. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Omnipresent. Via the Holy Ghost, I'll send another Comforter. He's going to be able to guide you in all truth. He's going to be all places. He'll be in you that are saved. And He'll guide you. In every place. Here's where my heart's at. Beholding the evil and the good. Father, Lord, I need you this morning to be able to preach this word. I can't do a thing without you. God, Lord, unable, certainly unworthy. God, depending on you. But Lord, by the Spirit of God and by the power of God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God, just a simple hillbilly preacher with a thought, God, that you burned in my heart and my mind. I'm praying that you'd take this today and you would fill my mouth, you would guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of this writ and touch the hearts of all of those that'll hear this word, whether it be a Facebook, CD, or those here with us in the congregation today. Father, please hear me. Take this word and God, do something with it. Praise your name forever. It's good to be yours today. It's good to be saved and on the road to heaven. It's good, God, to know that I'm not worried about going to hell. I'm not going there. I'm going to where you are one day in the land we call Beulah. I've got people waiting on us there. Oh, God, we've got some here we'd like to bring with us. So God, take this word and do what you do. Holy Ghost, have your way in this today. I want to praise you for everything it's done. Now I'm praying in advance and expectation of this, and I'm asking it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I said this Wednesday night, God didn't change my mind. He left me in this thought. I want to preach this morning on the end of evil. The end of evil. 613 times in the Word of God, you're going to find the word evil. Doesn't change much from the Hebrew to the Greek, whether you find it in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the word pretty much means the same thing. I'd like to define it, if I could, in the Hebrew. And it means this. It means wicked, or wickedly, or wickedness, or the wicked one. It means the worst. It means wretchedness. It means bad. There's a lot of other things in between there. There's a list. There's an entire paragraph to define what that one little four-letter word evil means. But I'll just give you a few of them. I think we can recognize that today. It's first mentioned in Genesis 2 and 9 when God said He made everything and He made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and He put it in the garden. He told them they could have everything, but that tree, don't eat of that tree, for in the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now the thing about that tree was this. I got this from Adrian Rogers said this one time. I heard it in a message he preached. He said, innocence is ignorant of evil. I love that. I wish I had thought of that. Innocence is ignorant of evil. Let me illustrate that. I got to hold that grandbaby Friday. I could just sit. I never dreamed that this would happen to Mike McCoy, but I could sit and hold that child 8 hours and not be discontented. There is something that has happened to me, and I can't explain it. And I tell you, I believe his favorite song right now is Victory in Jesus. I get more response out of that one than I get out of anything else. Jo Beth is she's a natural born mama. She just knows what to do. God put that in women. He didn't put that in us guys. But that is innocence. He doesn't know. He is unaware of anything that's evil. All he knows is he likes to be full, he likes to be dry, and he likes for Pa to sing to him. But he's ignorant of evil. The Lord said, the day you eat of that tree, see, that's how Adam and Eve were. They were ignorant of that evil. And he said, but here it is. There it is. There's one thing that I'm going to put out there that I don't want you to have. And the devil showed up. I'm going to go into that a little deeper here in just a moment. If you come through the Word of God, I think you're going to see evil revealed in three different ways early into the beginnings of the books of God. And number one, you're going to find in Genesis 8 and 28, I think you're going to see evil's attitude. Because the Bible says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The attitude of man. I'm singing to that baby, and I said, one of these days, boy, you're going to have to be saved. I want him to know some of the first things. I want him to hear his Paul say, it's imperative. You must be born again. Why? Because the imaginations, the attitude of the hearts of man, according to God, is evil from his youth. Why is that? Because Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and therefore the fall came within the souls of men, and they lost their souls. If you're here this morning, you've never been born again, you will not accidentally make it into heaven. You must be born again or you're not going. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And you're on one team or the other. There's there's no gray or middle ground. My friend, the question to you this morning is, it don't matter if Paul saved and Granny saved and everybody's saved. The question is this, are you saved? We find evil revealed in an attitude. Number two, we find evil revealed in allegations. Numbers 14:27. He said, "What shall I do with this evil congregation that murmur against me?" In other words, he was calling, not only was the thought, the attitude of man was evil, but the allegation against God was evil, because they said it'd be better if we stayed in Egypt than to come out here in this wilderness and die. But God never intended for them to be in the wilderness. He had the land for them all along. They just wouldn't cross over. Many Christians are living in that state of infancy and carnality today that Brother Gordon taught about this morning, simply because here's the line and they say it's going to be too hard. God says, come on over here. No, I believe I'll just sit where I'm at. He said, you make an allegation against me because you're saying I can't do what I said I would. You know what God called that? Evil. Not only do we see the evils revealed by attitudes, by allegations, but number three, when we come on through the Word of God, we come to Judges 2 and 11, here's what we've done. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. It goes from attitude to allegation to action. Now they're doing evil in the sight of God. As we've learned this morning in Sunday school, I think it's a picture of the modern day church. The attitude is this. It's not, and I know JFK said this, but I'm going to borrow it if I could and apply it to the church. It's not what can the church do for me, but what can I do for the church? That's a good application for the church world today. But here was the action, Brother Johnny. Well, Joshua's gone. We still got the law of Moses. All these things. I believe I'll just do every man then that which was right in his own eyes. And the actions were evil. You know what was evil about it? They began to serve other gods. Balaam. It comes to Molech a little later on. I'll touch him in a moment. But here's what it is. It is that thing that draws me away from God and requires my attention, and it has my heart. I love that baby, but I can't love him more than God, because if I did, God might take him away. God said, love me, Mike. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. My. Victoria said, you can know my cries awaken the Master. He'll give you these things. He'll give you peace that you never knew existed. Hey, listen. He will prosper you in according to His will. You know why some aren't prospered any more than they are today? Because they can't handle it. If you can't take care of your 1972 Plymouth, that's going way back. How do you expect God to give you anything that's a 2000 model? This is good preaching. I know you're not shouting it out today, but I didn't expect you to. God's plowed my corn with this. What is the action of the people here? It would reveal the evil that was within them. Now, were all they in that? No, there were some that was. There were some. There was a remnant. There's still a remnant. The end of evil, number one today. If we're going to see that, we're going to know it, we're going to understand it, we need to understand the interpretation of evil. We're going to use Scripture, and then I'm going to read you something from the pages of society. Scripturally, it's Ra. Hebrew, the word Ra. R-A-A-H. And it is what I said earlier in this message. It is wickedness. It is wrong. It is the wicked one. Wickedly, wretchedness. Those things. I read a popular blog on Google this morning. Just Google it. You can do it yourself. You can Google this. Here's what will happen. He'll tell you here. It'll say, that which is contrary to the character, the will, and the attitude of God. That's evil. So all the things in Scripture, that's what it points evil to be. Here's the interpretation in society today. Here's what a neuroscientist suggests. There is no such thing as evil. One guy on this particular blog said this: Hitler didn't do anything that was evil because of his motive. He was doing that which he thought was right because he loved his country. I say hogwash to that. In the top 10 that I look for of the most evil people throughout the history of the world, Hitler was always included, sometimes number 5, sometimes number 1, but always within that realm. 6 million Jews killed. They're trying to, listen, society today is trying to deny the Holocaust. You ask those that's still alive today and got those numbers imprinted in their wrist, whether it was real or not. When we ignore history, as one writer said, listen, we are determined to repeat it. The interpretation of evil. One writer said this, modern day philosopher said this: there can be no evil. Because that would mean, and she said this, she said, there is no God. Because how could an omnipotent, all-loving, all-knowing God allow evil? I like what Albert Einstein said as a young student when his professor stood up within the realm of his class and said this. He said, religion is foolishness, faith in this unseen God is ridiculous. And he said, and he proved it, he asked the student a question. He said, if there be a God, why is there evil? And the poor little student who was much younger could not answer, and Albert was in the classroom. And Albert raised his hand and said, may I ask a question? He said, yes, sir. What is your question? He said, is there such thing as cold? The professor said, absolutely, there's a such thing as cold. We know that. He said, no, sir. He said, really? He said, there's no such thing as cold. He said, all cold is the absence of heat. We call it cold so we'll have an understanding. I forgot it was 425 degrees below Fahrenheit when nothing can exist. He said, so we have that. We call it cold so we can understand that there's something opposite of heat. But cold is actually just the reversal or just the removing. It's where the absence of heat. And the professor said, well, that's true. He said, may I ask another question? He said, what's the question? He said, is there such thing as darkness? He said, well, yes, you know it's darkness. He said, sir, he said, there's no such thing as darkness. Darkness is just the opposite. It is this. It is the absence of light. The professor said, well, I have to agree. He said, we give that absence of light the name darkness so we'll have something to identify it by. He said, may I ask you the question, professor? Is there such thing as God? Is there such thing as evil? The professor said, well, yeah, I know there is. He said, may I suggest that evil is simply the absence of God? What happened in the garden? You want an example of this? Let's see what happened in the garden. And God said, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, I'm over here. I've hid myself. Why did you do that? Because I'm naked. How'd you know you was naked? Has thou eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, well, that woman you gave to me. Let's blame it on her. She said, well, that serpent that you made. Society still boasts today that there's many, that there is no evil. They said there is no free will, there's no choice of man, and it's a matter of how the mind works, and it's just a sick mind that does this, and you can't blame it on anything else. I say it's evil. And I'm saying evil exists just like good exists. How do you know? Because in the beginning of the book, like I said earlier, God said, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. You can know. How do you know? The Spirit of God has revealed these things unto us. Yea, the deep things of God. The interpretation of evil. Romans 3 and 4 said it like this. Said, let God be true and every man a liar. Number two. I may stay right here just a moment. I want us to consider this, the influence of evil. Is there an influence of evil within our world today? In Isaiah 5 and 20, the Bible said it like this. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. But Isaiah's saying that to a bunch of people 750 years before Jesus is even born. So what are we today? Have we really come that far? Are we as far removed as they are? Are we so much better or are we so much worse? I'm saying that Jesus said, or God said in His Word, back in chapter 8 of Genesis, that the man's heart, his imaginations are evil from his youth. You go back through history and search the pages of evil, and you're going to find of evil events, and you're going to find this, that they was fellow this Vladimir over there, the Romanian who they wrote the books Dracula of, the Impaler. He liked to just take babies and put them on sticks and decorate the yard. He liked to find mamas and impale them on sticks and decorate the road. And if anybody spoke against him, whether it's his court or not, he just impaled them. They called him Vlad the Impaler. Gruesome. They said Stalin killed as many as 10 million people within his own country. 10 million. Now some say it's less than that, but most all agree it was between 5 and 10. And he'd done a lot of it with starvation. He liked to kill them slow. They showed pictures of these children and the joints and their knees were just, and their ribs exposed and their little faces looked like skeletons. And I thought, my God, my God. Evil. And the influence of it. Are we influenced by evil today? Let's consider the origin of evil. Isaiah 14 and 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning? He fell from heaven. There's the evil. Where did it begin? In the courtroom of God. Boy, this is deep water. No blood, as Cal Ray said, had ever been in heaven. That's why it's essential that Jesus presented it to the Father. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There'd been no, and that's in God's Word, and He can't lie. He had to make it true. And what is that? That meant the blood had to go where God was. And who took it there? The God-man took it there. And the Father said, that's good enough right there. Nothing else has worked, but that'll work. Because you became what they are, that they might become what we are. Why is that? Because of the blood. The influence of evil. So Satan whispers, he's the prince and the power of the air. He's the prince and the power of the air. Say, well, that can't influence us. Listen, many Christians today, as in our Sunday school lesson taught us, are influenced by the very works of the devil. I may revive this message and preach it again. I think it's worth revisiting when the devil does the talking. The devil does the talking. Oh, he speaks to you. The battlefield's in our mind. The influence of evil. Do you know if we went back in time 100 years, things that's in the church today, our forefathers were raised up, and I'm not saying it's right, but they'd have dragged people out the door and tarred and feathered them. My great, I think it was second great, grandpa, Job Carlock, pastored, he actually began the First Presbyterian Church in Alpine, Tennessee, and a fella gave me some minutes of one of his business meetings, and there was a fella who was a deacon in the church, and he missed one of their meetings, and he called him before the church, and what a thrashing he gave this guy. I thought, huh, that's not modern-day Christianity. They would never come back. This guy begged forgiveness of the church and was a faithful member from then on. You want the outcome of this influence of evil? 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Stay right there with me just a moment. You know what it takes to run all the devices that we own and have in our homes and carry in our pockets, and we will not go to bed without them? Or if we leave the house, man, we'll turn around. If we've driven 5 miles, we'll turn around and go back and get that phone. Can't leave the house without that thing. We turn on the television and we say, just for a little noise. Click. Do you know what I found as a man? I can't listen to the television and read and comprehend. Now I can do it. It can be on and I can read, but I don't comprehend anything I'm reading because I'm trying to do two things at one time. Turn that stupid thing off. I can't hear. Put me in a room by myself. Open the book. I go down in Dusty's basement. I open the Bible. I sit down in that old chair. And when I do, and I begin to read on that page, the Holy One of Heaven begins to whisper in my ear. I can hear Him then. You can't hear Him doing 25 things, man. Now these mamas can do things. That's how God made them. That's why Joe Beth can hold that baby. She's got big long fingers. He's got his mama's fingers. I'm paying for his piano lessons. He's going to be like Kenny Parsons. He can do 2 bars at one time. His fingers are long as mine. She can hold him in that. In her hand, she's got long fingers. She can hold him. She held him, caught the pacifier, kept him from falling to the doctor's office. Pat said it is quite a show. But God made them that way. They can do things. Listen, you know what we... But they still need a long time with God, girls. Lay it all down. Turn off the TV. Pick up your Bible. Huh? And follow the influence of the Holy Ghost. The one that has transformed him. Think, you know what's essential for all these things to work? Light. I don't think it's coincidence that he's transformed himself into the angel. You know what that word angel means? It means messenger. And you know what the message is? False. If I borrow something from modern day America politics, it's fake news. The devil tries to contradict all of that which is right in that book. A UK report I've seen, and then I read it this week, says this: Christians are the most persecuted religion upon the face of the earth, bar none, hands down. More Christians are killed daily for their beliefs than any other religion. You don't hear much about it. Why? Because the angel of light don't want that to get out. The influence of evil. The origin, the outcome. Number three, involvement in evil. I'm not involved in evil. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says this. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Friend, it was the majority that crucified Jesus. Just because it's popular on social media and the evening news does not make it line up with the word of the Holy Writ. Our young people are being influenced every day, and to this point, they became involved in evil itself. There's things happening in high school that we never dreamed of until we were sailors and army men. There's things in elementary school. Brother Roger Buck and I were speaking this morning. He said this. He said they're teaching things in sex ed in the sixth grade. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, oh no, it's true. You know what they're doing? They're putting a big green line, a check mark. They're desensitizing us to the things of sin, and they're saying this is all right. And what it is the involvement of evil. Hey, kids, this won't put you at the top of the popularity chart in your social circle. No, but it'll give you approval by the Son of God. The involvement in evil. Two things. And look, if you need to go, it's 12 o'clock, you are excused. You won't hurt my feelings. People leave on me all the time. I'm used to it. Number one, I want us to look at this, abominations. We've been all over this today. Leviticus 18 and 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as womankind. Say that's under the law. That's exactly right. That's what's going to judge the unsaved. Amen. Thou shalt not. Society says this. You're wrong, preacher. You are ignorant, unlearned. You're out of date. You're not politically correct. I'll tell you what I'm going to stand on. I'm going to stand on that old book. Amen. You know what he says that? You know what he calls that? Evil. Are the people? Oh no, God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son. He died for that man just like he died for Mike McCoy. Amen. Involvement in evil. It's to the place you can't turn on the television watching, especially a sitcom, without having one or two of those homosexuals in that lifestyle and what they're trying to do, desensitize and put a stamp of approval on it. Amen. Friend, I'm not your enemy. Watch me on social media. I am not your enemy. I'm the best friend you got right now. I'm the doctor that's saying, I got the cure. Bless the name of Jehovah. Hey, listen now. What kind of doctor would we be? And I don't have a degree, a doctorate degree. I'm saying, I'm making an example here. I'm like the doctor that had the cure for cancer and wouldn't give the shot. I'm giving the shot. You don't want to come to the end of the road and find out you're wrong. George Angel preached this 20-something, 25 years ago over an old sanctuary. Eternity's too long to be wrong about some things. You remember something from 25 years ago, it made an impact on you. Abominations, number one, involvement in evil. Abominations, number two, abortion. Stay with me. Leviticus 18, 28, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. You know what that is? Killing the babies. You know what they done? They had a big statue. They heated that thing to where it was white hot. He had his arms out and there was a hole down in between his arms and his head was up and up under this thing was the fire and they would walk up with them crying babies. Can you imagine walking up with a crying baby and tossing that thing down in that fire? You know what they done? They beat the drum to drown out the cry. And the more they cried, the louder they beat the drums. They beat the drum. They sang their violent songs and the baby died and God took him to glory. Say, well, we're not doing that today. No, you know what we do? We take a pair of scissors and stick it in the back of their head while they're halfway out of the womb and call it civilized. My God, we ought to be broke down, crying like weeping people, saying, God, the wickedness of this land. But can I tell you, evil has been ever since Satan fell from heaven. We've not changed any. Listen, this world's as wicked as it's ever been. They've been killing babies for a long time. They say it's a woman's choice. I'd like to know what the baby's choice would be. Won't we let him live till he's 7 or 8 years old and then ask him, would you like to live? Wonder what the reply would be. Yes. Yeah, but what about those deformed babies and those babies that's not like everybody else's baby? You know what they told Joey, McCoy, Jennifer said, you may have a Down syndrome baby. And you know what he said? That's okay. Do you know what the medical profession says? Get rid of that baby. God help that bunch in New York that stood and applauded when they passed that late-term abortion bill. I say, my God, I'm telling you, that broke my heart. I wasn't mad about it. I was sad about it. I thought, how far away from God can we get that we would applaud the death of innocents being born? I can't imagine somebody taking Colin and doing something to him. Oh, my. I'm telling you, I can't imagine that baby, that innocence of that child. And wicked men, what if they'd done that to them? Do we not think? Hey, well, if they'd done that to me, I wouldn't be here. The ignorance of it. Listen, the involvement of evil. How sad it is. Woe to them. And they call it good. Lastly today, I want us to consider the indictment of evil. That's one that said, that's as far as you're going. I'm about to give you notice. I'm going to put evil on notice. I'm about to do something about it. John chapter 12, Jesus is on his way. Praise the name of the Lord. He's on his way to the upper room. Here's what he said to him in John 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Evil's been put on notice. I'm about to do something about it. Evil had lived. It seemed like evil had prevailed. It didn't seem like anything was going to change. And Jesus said it's about to change. They didn't understand what he's talking about. But he's about to do something like they ain't never seen before. He's going to go to Calvary. He's going to go to Calvary. And every wicked and every evil act that's ever been committed by any man before, now, and in the future was put upon the very Son of God that day. People say, I don't understand it. I don't know why God chose that. But this thing came before the foundation of the world. God knew he's going to put man in a perfect environment. God knew Satan had fallen. God knew what man was going to do. But I'm telling you, it's like me holding that baby. God wanted one that was going to love him in spite of what he had done. He wanted something that he created to love him like he loved it. I wish I'd have told my son this. I don't know. I was young and stupid in my son's youth. But I wish I'd have told him, like I've already told that little boy, that baby has heard Pa say, I love you at least 100 times. I get right down in his ear and whisper, Pa loves you, son. And every time I do it, Dennis, it reminds me that that's what the Lord says to me. I'm one of his little ones. He holds me up. He says, I love you. Glory to God. Woo! How good that is. Even though my heart, from my youth, the imaginations of my heart was evil. Listen, even though I made allegations against him, and even though the actions in my life have proved things that were evil, God said, hey, he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. He said, I love you. I've got to read you something right here. This is going to help you. I find then a law that I would, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He saved my soul, not my flesh. I got to die. This body's got to die. If He's going to give me a brand new one one of these days. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Here's the problem. You got a problem with this thing too, friend. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Our Lord, so then I with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It's knowing whom it is, and I'm accepted in the Beloved. Judgment's come to this world now. That's here and now. I want to read you something about hereafter. I'm winding down. We're getting close. God's going to give you an opportunity to pray. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. This is the hereafter. The last verse of chapter 21 of Revelation. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Don't tell me it's going in. Not to the new city. Or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what that is? The end of evil. That's when it's done. Plucked up by the roots and twice dead. Over with. There'll never be another evil thing. Now, what about when Jesus reigns on this earth? Do you know that there's still going to be a number of people that come up against Him at the end? Satan's going to be loose for a season. And there's going to be some within that 1,000-year reign that teams up with Satan. That shows the total depravity of natural man. But when we get here, I don't know about you, but that's where I'm going. And I want my family to go. Or to think that one of them might not make it. To think that one of them would choose some other way. To think that grandson would choose something other than Christ tears the heart from my chest and throws it in the gutter. I refuse by the authority of the Word of God to let that boy die and go to hell. I'm going to do everything in my power to see that he is saved in an early age, not when he gets old and hardened and has his conscience seared with a hot iron. That's where a lot of people are at. Listen, we'll teach our kids to hunt, fish, throw a baseball, kick a football, or have to do all these other outside activities, but we will not lead them in the ways of God, friend, when all these other things will perish. The ways of God will be eternal. Surely we love them enough to lead them. In the past, they ought to go. I want to share this with you. God's never going to judge. The only people that God's going to judge in this is those that refuse to accept what He done through His Son. Now, He's going to judge us at the Bema Seat. I'm talking about those that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But it'll be those that simply refuse to accept what Jesus done. I was reading some old writer. I don't know who it was. Some of the same guys Brother Gordon reads after, I read after. And it might have been Gill or one of those old guys, Clark or some of them. Some of them, we disagree on a few things, but boy, they got some wisdom about them. And one of them said this. He said, you know that in Genesis 6 and 5, the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart were only evil continually. And judgment was pronounced by God. He He said, it's coming. Can I tell you, there's another judgment coming on this world. People are foolish and naive. Friend, do you think you'll escape it without the blood of Christ applied to you? You're dead wrong. You are dead wrong. Here's what he said. He said, and it repented, six and six, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. He said, you know that it repented, that the Lord repented that he had ever made man, but he never repented that he redeemed him. Glory to God. That means he never changed his mind about that. God actually, in his mind, to repent, to turn from God, thinking, why did I make these? And in his knowledge, he knew what was going to require. In his knowledge, he knew this, the foreknowledge of God, the providence of God. But you can't find it in the Scripture where he ever repented that he redeemed us. If you took that, you accepted that. I don't have to do it, preacher. You're right, you don't. And you can go a lot of places and you can hear preaching that's a lot different than this. You leave there feeling plumb good about yourself. I got so angry coming up the road yesterday. I was loaded down with stuff. I was loaded. And it rained so hard I couldn't see to drive. And so when you're in the left lane running 60, passing everything on the road, it's raining hard. Lot were just pulled off the side of the road. I said, I'm not stopping. Pat said, maybe we'll just pull off. I said, they'll hit you sitting still. They've got to catch me if I'm running. We're in the left lane. We're trying to do this. And we get to the highway of Hades, I'm telling you, from 24, from the exit where Corbin wrecked, till you get off the exit at Jasper, it's crazy driving. Worse than America. I've been all over the world. I haven't found any worse than this. And it's up and down, back and forth. They can't, 45 miles. By now it's quit raining. And I'm way behind of where I think I need to be. And so we get on this road. I'm talking about you've got more evil in you than you think you got. And so we're running up the road, and I see the traffic stopped, and I said, oh, no. Blood pressure up. I wish I wasn't this way. I really do. I wish I was just laid back. I never got excited. I just kind of calm and cool. But I'm telling you, I try to control it, and something just happens, and now I'm smoking. I know you good people aren't. Nobody does this but me, but you got something that turns your crank. We're coming around a curve, and there's a truck driver. I don't know if he hit him or if he just stopped, but here's a car that's been smashed, and it's turned in backwards into the guardrail. No one is hurt. Praise the Lord. I said, well, thank God nobody's hurt. I was being real spiritual now. Thank the Lord nobody's hurt. We break free. We break free, and here's what it ought to be. Listen, I should be happy that I'm free. We've not crashed. We have come through a storm that, I mean, it rained. I probably should have just stayed at a motel or went to dinner or something. But I'm like the rest of you guys. Praise God, I can drive. We run up on this bunch. And I didn't know how old she was. I didn't know it was a girl. I was guessing it was a girl. She's in the left lane, and she's running 45 to 70. You never know. And there's trucks all over the place, and I just want in the front. Stay with me. Confession's good for the soul. I would to God that we'd start on the front row and have you come up here, and God put it on you to confess something that this week has brought about in your life. And so now, man, get out of the road. I'm doing this. Get over. Don't do this. Get in the right lane. Pat said, Mike, back off a little bit. I said, I'm encouraging them. You're going to wreck. Back off a little. Don't do that. Don't do that. Finally, I see a break. There's a truck. I can make it. I forgot. I got dirt loaded. It's not as peppy as it is without anything in it. I kick it, and I'm motivating pretty good. What does the girl do? Now we're racing. Her car's faster than my truck. And I run right up behind a tractor and trailer who's running 25 miles an hour, and I got nowhere to go. Lap traffic has hung me out to dry. I was a little bit mad before this started. God help me. I wish I didn't get mad. I'm praying Colin not have this anger issue. But now I'm steaming. This makes it worse. I'm following the truck. Guess who passes me? Here's what got me. The Lord dealt with me all day, all afternoon, yesterday evening. There's probably, now the girl driving couldn't have been over, everybody looks like a baby when you're as old as I am. She might have been 18, maybe 18. Stay with me. But the girl in the window couldn't have been over 10 years old. And as they went by, she looked at me and went, it was hard to stay in my lane at that minute. God said that could have been your grandbaby. Yeah. You still got home. You still got the truck unloaded. You still got a 30-minute nap, and you still had 5 or 6 hours of study time with me. Now, what did you not have? The right attitude. The allegation. I didn't call her any bad names, by the way. But the actions. You may have more of that in you than you think. Our Sunday school lesson blistered me this morning about the you better not have an ought against nobody, or God considers you like one of those fornicators. That's strong stuff. That's what he compared us to. You know what would keep us from doing that? The evil of pride. Pride said, I don't have to do it. You know what pride said to me yesterday? You deserve to be in the front of the pack. The rest of these people holding you up. You ought to be on the front row, baby. I was in the back seat. If I'd been thinking scripturally, Brother Wade, I'd have thought this, the last shall be first. Glory to God, I'm going to make it. I know you may not have anything to pray about. God's speaking to somebody this morning. I know I've been long, and I do not apologize for it. You can go to a lot of other churches, they'll preach to you for 10 minutes. You can hit the door and be happy and beat the Methodist to Cracker Barrel. But I brought you a message from the Lord this morning. God put this in my soul. I'd sit down with it. I'd wake up with it. I'd go to bed with it. He'd say, hey, that's it. That you've got it. Come get the song, Randall. Let's stand to our feet. He's going to lead us in a song. If you got anything to pray about, you ought to come. I'm telling you, if you're unsaved, it'd be the day to get things right with God. While we sing. While we sing. While we sing.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.